Hello guys, can you believe it? I am on here and it's not midnight. So I just wanted to talk to you a few minutes about the arrest of Prophet Tomi Ariyomi and his wife, Prophetess Tamar Ariyomi. I think I'm pronouncing their names right. I'm hopeful. I listened to two videos with them pronouncing it, but since when I go to Nigeria, they say I have an accent, I'm probably not saying it right, but I did try to do some due diligence and actually watch a video and hear them pronounce it to try to pronounce it right, but I probably still mess it up, so please forgive me. Anyway, in case you have no familiarity at all with who they are, Prophet Tomi and his wife are, they are global voices. They are governmental prophets who speak to leaders of states, leaders of nations. And they have been doing this for quite some time. And so they were based in the UK, but they recently, I think it was about a year ago, maybe less than a year, he said that God told him to go back home to Nigeria. And so he uprooted, he and his wife and children, and they moved back to Nigeria. He's been very, he was very vocal during the elections about the things that happened there during the most recent presidential elections. And he also not just speaks to Nigeria, but he also, as I said, he's an advisor to other nations. And he also speaks, just the other day, like I think Wednesday night, I watched a video that he did where he talked about the dollar and China and Russia and different things like that. And so you may not have heard, but he's a very popular pastor. I think even this week he has a conference that's going to be held here in Houston in the States. But he's a very popular, very well-known prophet. I think he's referred to as an apostle now. But he and his wife they live in Lagos, and they were traveling to Abuja because they had planned to have an event there for one of their churches, which is, I think, their global conglomerate, I think it's called Regnation. And so they were gonna have this program there called The Cross. Well, when they arrived in Abuja, they got met with something that they weren't expecting. So I'm going to read their statement just so I don't make any errors or get it wrong. And this is something that he posted, I think, yesterday. So it says, Prophetess Tamar and I would like to express our gratitude for all your prayers and support during Friday's ordeal with DSS. And I think I looked up DSS because I was like, what is that? And it's the Department of State Services. Now, again, I tried to do some due diligence. I'm not sure if the DSS would be likened here in the States to the FBI, or would the DSS here would be likened to the Secret Service. I think it would be more like, I mean, not the Secret Service, the CIA. So I'm not sure if it's the CIA or if it's the FBI, but I think it would be most closely associated with the FBI. If you know, then you can put in the comments so that we can, of course, we might always be factually accurate. So he says, we can confirm that on Good Friday the 7th, we arrived at Abuja to visit one of our branches when we were picked up by about 6 armed agents who did not identify themselves as DSS or any law enforcement agency. Now, can you imagine? You're inside your country, you fly to another country, you fly to another city, and then when you get there, you're found by these armed agents who don't identify who they are. They just take you. So it says, my wife, myself, and my aide were forced to surrender our mobile phones and enter the vehicles where we were taken at considerable speed to what we later learned was the DSS headquarters. The officers, some of whom wore balaclavas, I didn't know what that was either. I looked it up. And so those are like the hooded covers that only have the eyes exposed. That's what they're, I'm probably not pronouncing it right. I'm sure I'll get corrected on that too, but I'm doing my best. So it says they were not immediately recognizable as DSS because they didn't identify themselves. They didn't have anything that identified them. And then some of them were covered in these things that only showed their eyes. It says our pictures were taken, fingerprints and data collected, and we were locked inside a room with no knowledge as to the grounds for our arrest. Can you imagine? After a lengthy interrogation, it appears media and social media pressure forced DSS to release my wife and I. My aide still remains under DSS custody, and thus far they've been elusive as to his exact whereabouts. And I'm gonna leave out the next 2 sentences because I think yesterday, or either today or yesterday, he was actually released. He said, out of concern for my young children and my wife's well-being, we made the unfortunate decision to leave Nigeria abruptly. This decision did not come lightly, but with considerable prayer and counsel from our board, trustees, and colleagues in ministry and families. I can confirm that we are safe and will continue to work and pray for a new Nigeria. We remain resolute that we will return to the nation that we have grown to call our home, but for now, we will continue to press, pray, and give God no rest until Nigeria becomes a praise in the earth. We did not come to Nigeria under any illusion of comfort. We came to serve the Lord, fully aware of the danger. We want you to know that Tamar and I remain strong and unwavering in our commitment to Nigeria and the many great leaders we've encountered during our time there. We want to thank every leader and friend who reached out, called, texted, posted. We are so grateful. This is not goodbye. This is see you soon in a new and better Nigeria. And so this was their public statement they released yesterday, I believe it was. It is posted on his IG, so you can go and read. I read it in its entirety, but you're welcome to go read it for yourself. But he posted this statement. And so, of course, when I woke up Saturday, I started, you know, I looked at some stuff on IG, and then I saw something that said, you know, Prophet Tommy and his wife have been arrested. I'm like, arrested? What? He's supposed to come to the States next week for a conference. Why? And so immediately I started thinking about, you know, the public stance that he took about some of the things that happened as far as the government and the election. And also that he's very, unapologetically, he delivers prophetic words, like I said, to leaders, to governments, to nations. And so he's prophesied a lot of things that have come true about, you know, governments and things that would happen. Even I think he prophesied about Boris, who was in England. He prophesied that he would be making an exit, which happened. And so, anyway, the point of this is I saw it, and I saw it on a couple of people's pages, so I started doing the research. They said, he has a twin brother, and so his twin brother's there in the UK, so I said, well, let me go see what he's saying. So I watched his video, and he told the story, and of course, he had gotten the word that his brother had been arrested, and he said, please, you know, reach out on your social media, reach out to the British embassy, he's a British citizen, reach out, you know, blast social media, which this is the power of social media. When I grew up, we didn't have this, right? We didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet like this. And so he was, you know, imploring people to reach out. People were hashtagging the British embassy, hashtagging different leaders. He's very well connected there, you know, in Nigeria. And so people started to go to work and expose this, you know, this atrocity. And so, but we still didn't know necessarily what happened. And he was scheduled to preach. And so he actually ended up preaching. He and his wife were released, as he said in the statement. They kept his aid. And then he actually preached. And so I watched the sermon that he preached on Saturday about the cross. And guys, I wanted to cry. Like, I might have cried. Because the level of conviction that he preached with, and just reminding us that we're all called to carry our cross. We're all called to die to ourselves and be willing to do whatever is necessary to forsake all else to advance the gospel. I mean, when he was giving his speech, I'm like, this sounds like Martin Luther King, you know, when he gave the speech about, you know, I have a dream, like, oh my gosh, like, don't say this. We need your voice. Like, don't, you know, don't be doing this, you know, thing like you're about to leave us. You can't leave. And he said, you know, when we came here, we feel like the Lord was calling us here. And so we came prepared and understanding about the safety risks and all these different things. And so it just was really, really deep to listen to the sermon. You should check it out. I'll try to put the link to the video in the comments after I get finished with this. But anyway, and so I just listened to him speaking about this. I listened to him preaching about it with such conviction and just thought about he and his wife and what they must have felt like, you know, being taken from the airport and taken to a place and not knowing what was going to happen. And I thought about, you know, how I had gone to Nigeria in August, and I just thought about the world and Christians coming under attack and the different things that are happening. And so because of that, I just wanted to come on and I want to share one last thing about his story, is that he talked about how he had had a couple of dreams. I think maybe in 2018, he had a dream about a leader. And then he had another dream where he was like, there was something about assassination or something like, you know, like an attack or something that was being plotted against him. And so I think since he moved to Nigeria, a very popular or well-known, I shouldn't say popular about prophet, but a well-known prophet here in America, he had pulled him aside at an event and said, hey, you know, how long are you planning on being in Nigeria? And he was like, well, you know, the Lord has sent us there as long as the Lord says so. And he says, well, I'm seeing like an arrest, and I'm seeing like a possible assassination attempt, like a plot around assassination. And so, you know, if a prophet tells you something like this, and it's a reputable prophet, I know y'all give prophets a bad name and think they don't exist and that they're a joke because you see false prophets and fake prophets and all that. But I mean, we still go to the dentist, there's some bad dentists. We still go to the doctor, there's some bad doctors. We all have bad experiences with mechanics, but we still get our car fixed if we need it. So the same thing. There are false prophets, but there are real prophets. God still does use men and women to speak today. And so imagine if you're talking to a friend of yours and he says, well, I don't know if you should, I mean, how long you plan on staying there? Because I'm seeing arrest and I'm seeing assassination attempts. Well, that's a big deal, right? And so he even said, you know, you would think that if a person told you that, you would immediately run, you would flee. Like, I'm not dying for this. I mean, I said I love Jesus, but I don't know if I love him like that. But he said, I'm prepared. If you haven't found something that you're prepared to die for, then your life is not worth living. And he said, some of you live for Christ. You say you've given him your life and you'll live for him, but will you die for him? And I mean, those are the kinds of things that he was saying that was really piercing my heart and like bringing me to the level of conviction. Like, am I really in this thing? Like I say, like, I mean, am I as serious about this as I need to be? Because we're being called to account on it on a daily basis. Now we're being called to stand for truth, to stand for light. And the culture and the cloudiness and the deception of the enemy has a lot of believers caving to the pressure. And they're agreeing and saying that things are right when they're wrong. And the Bible clearly says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So if you're one of those people that know something is wrong based on scripture, but you're saying it's okay, or you see people trying to speak and stand up for truth and you're saying they're wrong, then the Bible says woe to you, and woe means it's not good. So he tells this story. And so he also says that his brother, so the night before, so that Thursday night, I guess, that Thursday night, that someone came over to visit his brother, and his brother was fasting. And so his brother was actually getting ready to end the fast. And another thing, I know some of y'all don't think you need to fast, right? Or you fast from social media, or you fast from making whoopee when you're not married anyway and not supposed to be doing it. But fasting is really to abstain from food, right? And so he's going through this fast. He's been fasting, I don't know for what or how long, but he was getting ready to break his fast. And a friend came over and said, can I talk to you in another room? So he pulled him into the other room and he said, your brother, I'm seeing that your brother is going to be arrested tomorrow. Can you imagine? I know I keep saying that, but it's like, wow. So he said, your brother is going to be arrested tomorrow. And I'm sensing something in regards to assassination attempt or something that's being kind of conjured up around it. So the Lord is asking you to extend your fast, to continue to fast. Don't break your fast. Continue to fast and pray for your brother. So of course he did. He fasted and prayed. So when Apostle Tommy was telling this story on Saturday, he's like, you know, I honestly believe that the lives of myself and my wife and our aide were spared because this prophet heard from God, heard this warning, sensed that something was going on. It confirmed something that he'd already heard in his own dream and then from the prophet from America. And so his brother was willing to turn down his prayer and make the additional sacrifice, and their lives were spared. And so again, I'm going to tag the sermon because the sermon was really powerful just to remind us as believers the cost to follow Christ. We don't talk about it a lot. We don't hear about it a lot. People make it seem like you can come and follow Jesus and keep your old life. You can come and follow Jesus and keep fornicating. You can come and follow Jesus and keep getting drunk. You can come and follow Jesus and look the same as you've always looked. It's just not true. Jesus said, if you want to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. That's a choice you make. You take up your cross and you follow him. And it's no longer you should be a dead man at that point. It's no longer you living, but it's him living through you. So yeah, I see people saying, wow, that is scary. It is scary. And so as I was listening to him, I'm being convicted. I'm about to cry. I'm like, Lord, don't have him saying all this stuff about this might be the last time I'm speaking to you here and all this kind of stuff. Like, we need your voice. You're a very powerful spiritual force, and he's a governmental prophet again. So a lot of leaders call on him to give them the word of the Lord and tell them the direction for their nation, and that's a pretty big assignment. And so we need his voice in the earth. And so I'm praying for him and his wife. I'm like, Lord, this is bad. But then I'm like, well, Adrian, are you praying like this because you don't want to go through persecution? Because Jesus already said we would be persecuted. And so he did, you know, as he said in the statement, he after that sermon or whatever, they did make the decision to leave, he and his wife and children, and they left and they went to London. He preached yesterday in London. I haven't heard that sermon. And again, they're supposed to be doing a conference here in Houston, I think, this week. And so I'm not scheduled to go or anything like that. I'm not doing this because he asked me to do it or because I know him personally or anything like that. I'm doing this because he is a part of the body. We are a global body. And when something happens to one of us, which is the point I'm getting to now, it happens to all of us. And so I think that rather than look at it as, oh, I don't know him, he's African or he's British or whatever the case may be, we have to take this as an opportunity to prepare ourselves, to gird up ourselves and be reminded that days are coming. The Bible says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. And that's where we are now. It says men will be lovers of themselves, that they will pull to themselves teachers they will have itching ears, and they will pull to themselves teachers who kind of tickle the fancy of their ears, and they're going to refuse to put up with sound doctrine. Guys, we are here. We are here in a world where light is being called dark and dark is being called light. Even in the church, we're seeing things that are clearly anti-Christ, and people that are supposed to be standing for Christ are dropping like dominoes. Day by day, they're falling for mammon. They're falling for the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, and they are falling like dominoes. And so rather than point fingers at people and judge people necessarily, although Jesus did say to judge with righteous judgment, let me say that because people always say, you can't judge. Jesus said we should judge with righteous judgment, which means when we're looking at a situation, we should judge or make an assessment of it based on the righteous standard of the scripture, not our ideas of what we think. And so I said all that to say, because I just wanted to read a few scriptures to remind us what Jesus said, what Paul said. Some of this is what Jesus said, some is what Paul said, some is what John said about what we can expect as we continue to go through this these last stages before Jesus returns. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, 2 Timothy 3:12, if somebody could put these in the comments, I would appreciate it. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, that's not a popular sermon. That's not a popular message. That's not a popular scripture. You don't hear people talking about persecution. You don't hear people talking about the things that we're going to have to go through. But it's true. Jesus said that if the world hates you, which is the next one, John 15:18. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So all of you who love followers and love likes and like people, everyone to like you and no one to think you're mean or no one to think that you don't agree with what they're doing, you're going to be in big trouble because the devil will literally challenge you in your faith and he'll see what you really believe and he'll dare you to speak against something that they're trying to do. And so you'll have to know who you are in God and have the confidence and know who's backing you to say, call a spade, this is wrong, this is sin. And so this isn't something that you hear a lot. You don't hear about the world hating us. You don't hear about being persecuted. You don't hear about picking up your cross. Yesterday, people talked about crosses and they talked about empty tombs. They also talked about bunnies and chocolate and eggs. But next week, will people still be talking about Jesus Christ? Will they still be talking about the cross? Will they still be talking about the resurrection? Some will, some won't. So the next one is Matthew 5:10-12. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. Again, here Jesus is saying, you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not persecuted because you cussed everybody out and you were nasty and nobody can stand you, but being persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? He says you're blessed. All right, next one is 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory rests on you. 1 John 3:13 says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So all these are reminders. Again, you don't hear this preached a lot. You don't hear this taught a lot. But Jesus warned us. He foretold that dark days were going to come, that there would be a time that was going to come, and we're here now, where people are going to hate you just because you're standing for righteousness. They're going to hate you just because you're telling the truth. All right, next is Mark 10:29. Says, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the age to come. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. If you're persecuted here, you'll be rewarded here and you'll be rewarded in the life to come. Romans 8:35-37. We just have three more, guys. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Peter 4 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. John 15, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. Remember the word that I said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So again, Jesus is reminding us over and over and over again that in this life, if you walk with me, if you live with me, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be disliked. People are going to hate you because they hated me. They hated me first and they're going to hate you. But rejoice, blessed are you if they persecute and revile you for my sake. All right, last two. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And so, again, all of these scriptures are to remind us to fight the good fight of faith, to wage a good warfare, right? To gird up our loins, to put on the helmet of salvation, to take the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of right, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are the weapons of our warfare, and this is how we win and we're victorious in spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is a real thing. We are in a real war. We have a real adversary. Who is our adversary? Satan, who wants to defeat us. And the only way to win is to walk with Jesus, to walk with the Holy Spirit, listen to what they say, read the Bible, pray, so that you will know the strategy that you need to follow. And so that all being said, we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for us, the global church. But no matter what happens, come what may, we know the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to be revealed. We know there's going to be a great falling away. There's also going to be a great revival of souls if we get busy and harvest them the way we're supposed to. Right? It said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If we would be bold enough to talk about Jesus and stop shrinking back and being afraid, then we will see, which is what it says in Matthew 16:18. No matter what happens, no matter how crazy things get, no matter how dark the world gets, Jesus has already given us a promise. And that's in Matthew 16:18. And that promise is, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's read that again. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So be not dismayed, be encouraged, stand up, be bold, be courageous, stare down darkness when wherever you find it encroaching in your life, in your home, in your circles, stare it down, use the word of God, fight the good fight of faith, and know that we win. In the end, our triumphant king is Jesus Christ. The Bible has already told us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has already spoiled principalities and powers. He's already disarmed them and nailed them to the cross. So guys, we win. We are more than conquerors. So be excited, but also be sober-minded, be vigilant, because the world is getting crazy out here and we got to take the hand of Jesus and walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. We thank you for your word. We thank you that the blood of Jesus is spilled even now on the mercy seat on our behalf. Jesus, thank you that you are a triumphant king. Thank you that you are our intercessor and you live to make intercession for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for energizing us, for charging us, for convicting us of sin, and for testifying of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are equipping us even now to wage a good warfare. Thank you for putting your spirit inside of us and entrusting us with the gospel, entrusting us with the lives of people that we can speak life into them and that you can use us to resurrect dead things to life. We thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your conviction. And now we cover Prophet Tommy and Prophetess Tamar. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We cover their family with the blood of Jesus. We decree no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment against them, they shall condemn. That is their inheritance as servants of the Most High God, and their expectation is from you. Father, we thank you that you cover them with favor as with a shield, and that you are continuing to grow them and to cover them from glory to glory. We pray that this will be their testimony, as it already is, to be encouragement to believers all over the world and all over the country, that no matter what the enemy plans, you are for us. So we thank you for the victory. We thank you that thanks be unto you who always causes us to triumph. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. I pray for everyone who is watching and even those who are watching on the replay, that they will catch fire, that they will catch the fire that you will release even tonight, and that they will become passionate and serious about their walk with you. Holy Spirit, continue to teach us and train us so that we can be your salt and your light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, share this with other people. Pass this around. Share it. Make sure you subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on Facebook, make sure you share with other people. Let people know that we need to be prepared to stand. We need to equip ourselves. We need to read the Bible. We need to get serious about our faith like never before, because days of persecution are coming. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. God bless you and have a good night.